Okay, stand by one second. I'm just trying to get the record to work so we can meet that recording requirement. Okay, it's recording now. Okay. Pastor Trainum texted me and said he was trying to call in. He got muted, but I'm sure he's going to try again. But it sounds like, Charlie, we have enough folks to get started.
Good. Well, then I'd like to call the meeting to order. And, Adam, would you call the roll?
Sure. So we have Charles Tuohy. Pastor Present. Trainum, are you on? Are you
Present.
On yet? Pastor Trainum? Sam Wells, our secretary?
Present.
Natisha Alexander, treasurer? Jeff Collette?
Present.
Todd Curley?
Here.
Phil Calderon?
Here.
Chris Spencer?
Here.
Great. And also on the call, we have Alan Walther, who's a partner at Bonadio. He's going to help. He's going to present the annual audited financial statements that are on the agenda today. Eric Gans, our assistant director of operations. Myself, I'm Adam Zarenko, the executive director of the Albany County Land Bank. We have Amanda Wyckoff from our staff. She's director of operations. And Kate Hedgman is counsel to the land bank. And Charlie, before we get started, I just want to note that we are recording this meeting and holding this the March 2020 Board of Directors meeting for the Albany County Land Bank via teleconference in accordance with the New York State Executive Order 202.1, which allows public meetings to be held via teleconference. We're recording the meeting. It will be publicly available. We will transcribe it and have it available on our website. And also there's a public line that was circulated on our website to call in. Although at the moment, I don't see anyone called in. Folks may join. So just so everyone knows, it is being recorded in accordance with the requirements of the state's executive order. And also this is a public meeting. So with that, Chairman Tuohy, hopefully everyone has received the materials on the agenda. And I think we could just proceed.
Great. So the first order of business is the minutes of the February 20th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Who's that? Who is it?
Phil.
That was Phil.
Yep. Second?
Chris.
Chris Spencer, okay. Any addition, corrections, deletions to the minutes?
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want
Hearing
me to
none.
Call down the vote?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Kate, do we have to do one by one, or can we have voice vote? We're all unanimous.
We need to do one by one so the record's clear.
Okay, Adam, go down the list again.
Yes, sir. Charles Tuohy, Chairman
yes.
Tuohy.
Yes.
Pastor Trainum, are you on?
I am on.
Sam Wells. Oh, hi, Pastor Trainum.
Yes, and I
Pastor, we're looking for the vote on the approval of the February 20th minutes.
Yes.
Great. Sam Wells?
Yes.
Natisha, are you on? Natisha Alexander? Jeff Collette?
In favor.
Todd Curley?
Yes.
Phil Calderon?
Yes.
Chris Spencer?
Yes.
Great.
Okay.
Passes. Any, oh yeah, we called the roll, so that's good. We're good.
Yep. Okay, done with item one. Item two is review of financial statements. Adam?
Okay, so thank you, Chairman Tuohy. I circulated the financial statements for the period ending February 29th, 2020. Obviously, these reflect the economic reality of the company prior to the global pandemic. I'm sure everyone's following along closely the impact this is having across the globe. I saw on the news today about a third of the globe is shut down right now, not working. So we are among those. Our state is not allowing us to work in the office. We moved our operations to remote almost 2 weeks ago. And so we have been working remotely, settling into a rhythm. We're trying to move along real estate sales to the best of our ability. So this month the agenda has sales that were already in motion. We've been coordinating with Kate and our staff on the closing side, which is important. Obviously, closings become more difficult, especially with respect to the clerk's office being closed and in-person closing. So we're having to go digital or by mail. We're not the only ones facing that. But the revenue projections will obviously be impacted, our annual budget. I think once we come towards the end of this pandemic and we emerge from the other side, it would be in our collective best interest to readopt a new reforecasted budget. But in the meanwhile, we are still trying to move along with sales to keep some revenue stream in. Next month's property sales list focus entirely on land because for two reasons. It doesn't have our requirement is for buyers to physically see and view the buildings. Oftentimes they want to go back with their contractors to make informed offers on the property. So we can't do in-person showings. It's actually banned under the governor's rules right now. So we're focusing on land because anyone can drive by a property and we have more land than buildings. So we see it as an opportunity to focus on that subset of our portfolio. And then we'll revisit in April where we are in May. But I will flag for the board that, we had been averaging about $90,000 a month this year in closed property sales. I would suspect that to drop over the next few months. And then we'll have to readjust. But other than that, we're trying to reach out to all of our vendors and office providers to see if there's any way they could give us a suspension or a pause in our costs. If we're not using the copier, maybe we don't have to be renting the copier. We're not the only ones doing that. But we're trying to reduce the costs that we don't need, but also generate the revenue. So, this is our first month headed into this. We'll see how it goes. We are trying to program our Attorney General's grant. We've been in touch with our grantors from Enterprise. They have indicated some flexibility around holding us to our milestones in the event we can't get permits or contractors to work for us. But we're actually hearing from contractors that the ones that are considered essential under the governor's ruling, that they would be willing to do work. So we're trying to pick back up our property improvement program and use our time working remotely as wisely as we can. So that's pretty much the financial outlook right now. The profit and loss and balance sheets were circulated, but as I noted, we're entering into uncharted economic territory globally, but especially for our company. So we're just going to keep doing the best we can with what we have, where we are, frankly. So I'll take any questions on the documents. Otherwise, that's pretty much the update I have right now.
So thank you for the update, Adam. I think it's clear on where we stand.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none. Thanks for the financial report, Adam. Let's go on to a review of our audit by Bonadio.
Good morning. This is Alan Walther. I'm a partner with the Bonadio Group. We have completed the audit of the Land Bank's financial statements for the year ended December 31st, 2019. I met with the audit committee on, I believe it was Tuesday, and reviewed the draft reports in detail with them. Today, for the full board, I would just like to give a brief overview of the results of our audit. I believe yesterday that Adam did disseminate the reports that will be issued to you electronically. Hopefully you have them in front of you or you've had a chance to review them. The overall results of our audit, we will be issuing an unmodified opinion on the Land Bank financial statements. Again, if you have the document in front of you, that opinion can be found at the very top of page number 2 of the report. I will paraphrase the opinion. In our opinion, the financial statements present fairly the financial position of Albany County Land Bank Corporation as of December 31st, 2019. That is what we as auditors call an unmodified opinion. That is the highest level of assurance we can give on your financial statements. We also had an internal control finding this year, which can be found on page 12. We categorized that internal control finding as a material weakness in internal control. What we found was an instance where properties that were donated to the land bank in 2018 were not recorded until 2019. So we had a prior period adjustment to correct that of approximately $650,000, and we had an internal control finding. That internal control finding has been discussed in detail with Adam, Amanda, and Erica, and processes have already been put in place in 2020 to make sure that that does not happen again. We also issue a report on page 11 on compliance, and we had no instances of non-compliance that we found. If you have the, again, if you have the financial statement in front of you, on page 3 is the land bank statement of net position. The highlights here, your total assets were $12,442,000. The most significant asset that the land bank has is cash of approximately $3.8 million, grants receivable of approximately $1,350,000, property held for sale of $7,215,000. The land bank had total liabilities of $2.1 million, of which $859,000 was accounts payable and accrued liabilities, and approximately $1.3 million was unearned revenue pertaining to your grants. So the accounting formula is assets minus liabilities, brings you to your net position. Your net position is $10.2 million, of which $7.2 million is tied up in your property held for sale. So you have approximately $3 million available for operations. A brief review of your statement of revenue expenses and changes in net position, which is on page 4. The highlights here, total revenue for the year was $8.2 million, of which $1.8 million approximately was sale of properties, $4.9 million approximately was donation of property for sale that was received from Albany County. You received $250,000 grant from Albany County, and then two separate grants from the state, $836,000 and $374,000. Your operating expenses totaled approximately $5.9 million. The largest of which were cost of sales, the cost of property sold, $3.3 million, property maintenance, $1 million, salaries and benefits, $550,000, the Albany County property tax recovery, $386,000. So your net position for the year increased by $2,399,000, added to the restated net position at the beginning of the year of approximately $7.9 million. Brings you to your net position at the end of the year of 10.2. In addition to the financial statements, we issue a required communications letter. I'm not going to talk about that at all. It just gives, you know, an overview of the results of the audit. And then this year as well, we also will be issuing a management letter, which really the management letter ties into the finding that we had with regard to the inventory of properties held for sale. And it just talks about the need to reconcile those on a monthly basis so that the QuickBooks and all the records that you have are all in sync. And again, that has been discussed in detail with management, and I believe for 2020, you're well on your way towards tightening that up. That is the extent of my comments on the audit, unless there are any questions from the board members.
Alan, this is Kate Hedgman. I was just wondering if you just might give a brief explanation as to why the previous audit last year, the income was from the grants were designated under non-operating revenue, as opposed to this year them showing up under operating revenue, and why that change occurred?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a judgment call, Kate. I think it's more accurate, I feel, to show it as operating revenue. I think the purpose of those grants actually to help in the operations. So we just, again, it's a reclassification. It does not affect, it just affects the presentation of the report. It does not affect the overall financial position or the results of the operations for the year.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Alan, this is Adam. I do want to spend a second on what Bonadio helped us discover in our reconciliation system, but also how we're addressing it, because we spent a second or two on it. We spent some time on it at the audit committee, but I want the board to be aware. So what we essentially found is a dozen or so properties from 2018 that are recorded in our inventory, e-property, asset management database. So we're shown publicly and met all those requirements. They have to also be uploaded, every property, in the QuickBooks accounting software. And those two systems have to speak to each other on a property-by-property basis and correlate. What we saw was for some properties that didn't have individual property expenses billed against them, if they were just land that didn't have any maintenance or snow removal or any costs associated with it, they didn't speak, they didn't show up. They basically was a loophole in the systems talking to each other. So what we put in the place as soon as Alan Bonadio flagged it for us was we're working with Bowers. We were having kind of different ways of reconciling during different quarters. We're having now a monthly reconciliation of both databases against each other on a regular basis. So every month Bowers is going to cross-reference every single property we have, not just incoming, existing, and outgoing individually, but all together as a package. So we hope that sounds like in talking to Bonadio, when we talk to Bowers principal more about it, that will close this loophole for us. So I just wanted to just provide more information on that so everyone was aware.
Okay, thank you. And I do have a question. This is Pastor David. On page 12, where it says effect, it says without the adjustment that was made, the 2019 financial statements would be materially misstated. Can you just explain that or just expound on that, either you, Adam, or our representative? Just so I understand.
Alan?
Yeah, so Pastor, what we're saying there is those properties, as Adam just explained a little bit more in detail, those properties were actually received by the land bank in 2018, but they were recorded in 2019. So if we did not make that adjustment, then your 2019 financial statements would be incorrect. So we did a prior period adjustment to correct that.
Okay, so you put it into the 2018 financial report. Am I correct?
But that's the same question. Yeah, so you don't go backwards and change the previous audit, ascertain them. They carry it forward in the current audit. I had the same question when we talked. So it's reflected in this particular audit. And the way I understand it, Alan, is if you didn't make that change now, then the previous audit would have would be incorrect, basically, right?
Correct. Yeah, eventually,
okay, so
I guess you could look at it this way. I mean, eventually, right, I mean, it would come out in the wash, right, 2019. If we didn't change it, 2019 would have been overstated, 2018 understated, right, by the same amount, and it comes out in the wash at the end of the year. But if we don't make it, you know, the year under audit would be incorrect. So we made a prior period adjustment.
Okay, and so we're all set. That has nothing to do with our 2020 going forward. Am I correct?
Correct. And Adam said, you know, we've discussed this, you know, between Adam and Amanda and Erica and I and our staff ad nauseum, and I believe that the additional controls that have already been put in place are sufficient to make sure that in 2020 this will not happen again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Any more questions on the audit from anyone? Okay, next item of agenda is a resolution for disposition of properties. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. Todd.
Second.
This is Sam. I'll second.
Okay, presentation.
Okay, so this the sales matrix was sent to the board ahead of time. Hopefully everyone had a chance to review, and you're welcome to follow along on the property slides that accompany the matrix. We're going to run through the list of properties. I believe it's I believe we have about 22 properties on the agenda this month over multiple municipalities here. So let's dive right in. All of these properties went through the same process because it predated the COVID-19 pandemic. So they had gone through the application process by the deadline. They were advertised for applications on the monthly cycle, reviewed by staff, and actually reviewed and approved the recommendations you see by the Acquisition Disposition Committee. We held our first teleconference meeting on Tuesday. So first up is 7274 Hurlbut and 129 Sherman Street. Those are vacant lots in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance a sale to the Albany City School District. 9 Catherine Street is a residential vacant lot in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance that sale to Ms. Hess Hamilton. We're recommending on this sale to put enforcement on the property to ensure that there's a severely deteriorated shed structure on the property. We'd like to see that demolished within the next 12 months. It's something that came up in the review, staff review, in the committee meetings. 188 Livingston Avenue is a residential vacant lot. It's a former building, blighted building that we demolished using Attorney General grant funds. We're recommending to advance the sale to Underground Railroad History Project. They are the adjacent property owners on both sides. 557 South Pearl and 523 South Pearl Street are two residential vacant lots that are proximate to each other, although there's a property in the middle that's privately held right now. We're recommending to advance the sale of these properties to Mr. Murphy. He's proposing to do new construction in the future, but we do not feel, the committee didn't feel strongly about enforcing that. If he's allowed to under zoning, he's welcome to do so. 31 Osborne Street is a residential vacant lot in the South End neighborhood in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance the sale to Ms. Hines. 66 Spawn Hollow Road is it's technically a piece of vacant land with a small deteriorated improvement on it. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips plans on cleaning up the site and deconstructing the deteriorated structure. 453 Elk Street is a residential building in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance the sale to Kasim Property, LLC. 432 Elk Street is a residential building in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. Mulphy. 54 Ontario Street is a residential building in the city of Cohoes. We're recommending to advance the sale to Milltown Homes. 340 Saratoga Street is a residential building in the city of Cohoes as well. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. Fortin with CCNY Fund LLC as the alternate buyer. I do want to amend on the matrix verbally that we were able to follow up with Mr. Fortin at the request of the AD committee, and he's provided additional financial capacity to the effect of about three times of what's displayed on this sheet. So there is additional financial capacity there that we were able to receive. I wasn't able to update the matrix, but I wanted to make sure that that was on the record. 159 Main Street is a residential building in the city of Cohoes. We're recommending to advance the sale to CCNY Fund LLC with Mr. James Zhang as the alternate buyer. 48 Bly Road, very competitive property. This sales cycle, it's a residential building in the town of Colony. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Shahara Barcombe and Mr. Culligan as the alternate buyer and Mr. May and Mr. Funari as second alternate buyers. And the board, you'll see a theme on some of these sales, especially we had several highly competitive sales in the face of the pandemic that we're working through right now. We thought it would be in our best interest. We talked about this at the committee meeting to approve alternate buyers because of the real estate market right now and the uncertainty around some folks' economic, to approve multiple buyers when possible in the event the first buyer doesn't go to closing. 513 3rd Street and 515 3rd Street, residential building and residential vacant lot, respectively. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. Rumble of both properties to Mr. Rumble with Mr. Nebbia as a backup buyer. 287 Northern Boulevard and rear 287 Northern Boulevard is a residential building and residential vacant lot adjacent to each other, respectively. Recommending to advance the sale to Philip Guerrera with CCNY Fund LLC as the backup buyer. 79 Benson Street, another highly competitive property. It's a residential building in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. Capobianco with Ms. Webster as the alternate buyer, and Mr. Healy and Ms. Germano as the second alternate buyer. 311 quick, Hackett quick, Boulevard.
Quick question on 79 Benson.
Yep.
So the one you're recommending to it is going to operate it as a rental?
The first buyer is recommended as primary residence. Proposed use as primary residence.
Okay.
The applicant owns residential rental
okay.
properties,
just but
we'll
make, sure
make
that,
this
right.
primary risk.
All right, I just want to make sure we weren't going rental on that.
The alternate buyer is first alternate buyer is proposing to operate. It says operate as a rental, but it's essentially for a family member. Our system, if it's not primary residence, shows it as rental, but we try to carry that in the notes. And so that, and then the third alternate is also primary residence for the applicants, just to
okay.
clarify. 311 Hackett Boulevard is a residential building in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance the sale of this property to the Albany Community Land Trust in connection with our inclusive neighborhoods pilot program. As the board may recall, one of the disposition programs that we adopted is inclusive neighborhoods, and that was a program that came out of our National Technical Assistance Scholarship we were awarded from the Center for Community Progress that helped us develop a model with the Community Land Trust, Land Bank, where we could create pockets of affordability in stronger neighborhoods. So individuals and families that have lower income could live in, you know, neighborhoods that are a little more, a little stronger than some of the locations of our typical real estate holdings. This is the first property that the Land Trust has opted to purchase through that program. And so we're excited about following along, and we're recommending this sale go forward as proposed. And then 108 Ontario Street, 311 Sherman Street, 313 Sherman Street, 315 Sherman Street, and 465 Elk Street are all residential vacant lots in the city of Albany. We're recommending to, essentially convey those properties to the Albany Community Land Trust in support of the Green to Own or Mow to Own program that we've discussed at a previous committee and board meetings. This is essentially a program where the land trust will take ownership of the properties and then work with residents of their buildings or properties that are next door, approximate to these, and essentially provide a stipend for the residents or participants of the program to maintain the properties. And after a certain term of maintenance is met and the obligation is met, the folks maintaining the properties will get to take ownership of the properties from the land trust. And originally the program was going to be funded from a grant provided by the Albany Community Development Agency, but the city of Albany also received an award from the city's RISE grant program. Portion of that is going to fund this model. It'd be new to our region, and I think that the folks at City Drive saw value there. So these are the properties that we thought would be good candidates in talking to the land trust, and there are frankly properties that we've had trouble disposing of responsibly or finding a market for, and we think this would be a good way to support the program to leverage the grants, but also reduce our holding and maintenance costs on these particular properties in our portfolio. So we're recommending these sales advance as well. And that concludes the sales for this month.
Any further questions? Hearing none. Call the roll, Adam.
Sure. Charles Tuohy, Chair. I'm sorry, Charlie, I didn't hear. Is that it?
Yes.
Is that a yes vote? Okay. Pastor Trainum?
Yes.
Sam Wells?
Aye, yes.
Jeff Collette?
Yes.
Todd Curley?
Yes.
Bill Calderon?
Yes.
And Chris Spencer?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes, Charlie.
Great. And I just wanted to thank the A&D committee and the staff because, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. When we get to the board meeting here, all the work is behind us. Of course, just closing it is something else. But this is what's keeping us alive here, these sales. I mean, in other words, if the state is in trouble and all that kind of stuff, it's the sales of properties that are going to keep the doors open for us. And we're very fortunate that we have staff that keep bringing us good properties that we can dispose of and get some revenue to pay our overhead to keep the doors open. So kudos to the A&D committee for their involvement, and kudos to the staff as well. Next item is adopting a resolution authorizing revised company health and dental insurance plan. Adam?
Okay. So hopefully the board had a chance to review the information I circulated, but essentially the last time we visited our employee benefits package as it relates to health and dental was April 2016, actually right around the time I joined the land bank. And as we have grown, so has our staff and our benefits and essentially the cost to the company. So in working with the Human Resources Committee and just looking forward, we realized it was time to, and we also have our HR consultant and we have Gallagher Group on board, which is like a one-stop shop for a lot of different benefits plans and packages. We got together to revisit our healthcare benefits and with the goal to kind of do two things, provide benefits that are competitive in the market to keep the land bank, you know, an attractive place to work, but also think about the fiscal realities and responsibilities and costs and constraints that we have as we go forward. So this all predates COVID 19. Obviously it's a caveat here, but our enrollment window is quickly approaching. And so we have to take action to the extent the board chooses to adopt a new plan during this meeting. So the memo outlines kind of the approach we took, and I can just make the highlights here, but we're recommending to change our healthcare plan to be as follows. So to change our healthcare plan from the current plan, which is an MVP, high deductible healthcare plan, to the CDPHP, high deductible HMO qualified 324 silver plan, which will make more sense what that is if you look at the attachments. It shows the work we did on looking at five or six different options versus staying with the current plan. One of the benefits here of going to this plan is that it provides a pretty similar level of service to our employees with respect to the benefits available. By spreading around the co-pays a little differently, it actually results in a up to 11% premium reduction to the land bank, which was very attractive to us without really picking away too much at the level of service that we're providing now. We're looking to keep the current employee-employer cost share on the premium side that we have in place right now, and also continue to provide dental coverage through Delta Dental New York, and we have their essential option, and that's elaborated on in the other attachment in the memo, what that plan entails, but it's been a good value to us, and we haven't received any complaints of the level of service that it offers. So the other part of what we're looking to change is to reduce our costs on our on what's called an HSA, which is a health savings account, which is an account that can be established for anyone that has a high deductible healthcare plan. The employer have been making contributions to the healthcare, the HSA, to help offset the costs of the high deductibles that come with high deductible plans. Employees also make a paycheck contribution if they opt into the healthcare plan. We are looking to only contribute into the HSA of employees that are under this proposal that opt into our healthcare plan, the revised CDPHP, HD, HMO plan, at the contribution rates that are in the memo on an annual basis. And HR committee reviewed these proposals, and these proposals reflect some of the changes they had. So one of those changes is that we discussed our vision plan. Right now, the land bank had a separate HSA contribution since April 2016 to go eligible towards vision. In this case, there's been a slight increase in the HSA contribution to support vision as an eligible expense, but HSAs can be used on anything that's eligible, so that would be up to the employee. But that contribution is significantly less than the contribution we're making right now. So all in all, we feel like with the revisions that the Human Resources Committee proposed, this is the best value to us in balancing kind of the competitiveness of our package and also the needs of the employees. And one of the things that I would certainly caveat here, which was brought up at the committee meeting, was, you know, obviously, again, not to just keep going back to it, but it's the world we live in now, is the economic uncertainty of what the next 1, 2, 3, 6, 12 months will look like. So we are going to look at this as our healthcare plan for the next year, but we are going to reserve the right to adjust the employee-employer premium cost share structure and or the overall benefits package. We'll have to come back to the committee on that as needed to reflect the economic realities and health of the company as it may be in 6 months from now. So that's certainly something that we will make sure employees know and that we're thinking about here and that the committee rightfully pointed out. And then so that's also the last paragraph there in the memo on the first page. Other than that, I think that's pretty much the overview of the plan, unless anyone has any questions that weren't captured in the memo or the backup documents, I'm happy to field them.
Adam, as part of the Human Resource Committee, I thank you and Amanda for the time that you put into it. And I agree that this is a uncertain time that we're living in. But you guys have put together, I think, a very, very good plan for our staff. And one of the things, and I mentioned it during the meeting, is that, you know, it's going to be a cost savings for the land bank of 11%. which I think is just really astronomical. You know, that's based on last year's contribution. So it's really an awesome plan. And I, as I said, I support it wholeheartedly. And thanks to Jeff, too. His insight is just really, really just astronomical, having the human resource background that he does. But those are my two cents.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you all for your guidance on the committee. I think the product reflects all the work that went into it from both sides. So appreciate that. Does anyone have any other? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Charlie.
Any more questions? Okay, technically it looks like we have two resolutions. Kate could explain why, but we have the first one, and of course I neglected to get a motion and a second. So the first resolution that you have in your attachment, do I have a motion to adopt the first resolution on health care benefits?
Yeah, this is Chris. So moved.
Second?
Aye.
Okay. Any further questions on the first resolution? All those in favor? You've got to take the roll.
All right. This is for the health.
Aye.
This is for the health and dental benefits.
Yes.
Right, Charlie? Okay.
Yes. There appear to be two resolutions. One has to do with the not-for-profit entity. At least in my attachment, I have two resolutions.
Oh, I think it's all one resolution with just one long set of whereas clauses here.
Thank God. Okay.
Yeah.
Roll.
So, roll call on the resolution on the table. So I have a motion by Chris Spencer and Todd Curley second. So, Chairman Tui.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Pastor Trainum.
Yes.
Secretary Sam Wells.
Yes.
Okay, Natisha's on the call. Jeffrey Collette.
Yes.
Todd Curley.
Yes.
Phil Calderon?
Yes.
And Chris Spencer?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes.
Okay.
All we have left is no new business.
Executive director update.
No major updates except for we're trying now that we have essentially both of our feet back under us on the office side of things. We're getting into a rhythm here. We have our daily morning check-in calls via Zoom, which has been a great teleconference software. We're trying to get back to rocking and rolling as best we can. Our staff is gearing back up. We have all the equipment we need in place. We have some supplies. So we can do our work. We have digital signatures. We're working with Kate on the closing side to move as much real estate. So the update is we're trying to be open for business. We forwarded the main line to Susan Baker, who is answering it during normal office hours. We've had anywhere from 14 to 30 plus calls over the past couple of days on average. People seem to be stepping back into calling and looking for properties over the past couple of days, as I think others are settling into their new life. So we are just trying to keep as many things normal as possible in the face of a really atypical situation. So that's pretty much the update. Is we're looking forward to next month's board meeting, and if anyone needs anything from the Land Bank staff or team, don't hesitate to reach out to me. And we'll help any way we can. Otherwise than that, business as usual.
I see that you have scheduled for our regular Tuesday, April 21st. Is that still a go?
Yeah, so I just put that in as a placeholder. That would be our normal, that's our schedule for our board meetings. That would be the third Tuesday. I put time TBD. I'm hoping that maybe this morning slot will work again that time, but we're trying to keep that sense of normalcy of just keeping our cycle, our April sales date staying the same for deadline for application. We're just trying to keep things as normal as we can. So if it doesn't work for folks, I'll send a calendar invite soon. We can reschedule it, but you know, for now, I propose having it on the same date if we can.
Fine. Any other business to come before our board? Once again, I really want to thank everyone for making the digital jump here. I'm sitting here in my office with my microphone and everything, and so I'm so happy that Phil is here. Oh, we don't get to see him enough, so we heard it.
I'm
so,
looking out at my empty parking lot.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
Well, good luck. Everyone stay safe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Second. We're out of here.
Phil, and then I think Todd.
Bye.
Thank you all.
Yep. Thank you, Adam.
Have a nice weekend. Thank you. Be safe. Bye-bye.